All grace, peace, and mercy unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I've entitled the message this evening, Diane as Christian Pilgrim. I could always see Diane coming, even with my bad vision, because she was a woman prepared. She was prepared for the cold, and she had sported a hot pink parka with matching snow pants, and I can visualize it right now. Well, I mean, she's wearing pink now. And as she wore this ensemble, she carried a cigarette in one hand, and she was got the shopping cart upright one in the other, carrying it along. Oftentimes, I would pick her up for visits, as that was indeed within my calling to do so. And our winter attire rarely changed, and the shopping cart would be then loaded up into my truck. Diane reminded me of a pilgrim, caring and prepared to the fullest extent. I half imagined her pulling out a tent halfway to our destination if need be, but of course, there was never the need. Diane's travel protocol was heavy, and it was cumbersome for her, I imagine, because she carried so much more than she needed to, even if the destination was just around the corner. But before I get to seem too critical, I'm telling you all of this because Diane illustrates our most common human condition, which all of us share. We're weighed down with heavy burdens too great to bear. Well, one of our parishioners asked Diane why she carried so much physical stuff with her. I was more interested in the spiritual and emotional burdens that she carried. Things like guilt and despair and regret and sin. These are things that are common bearer burdens that we all have, both for Diane and ourselves. Not a single human being is immune from these burdens. King David, though a man after God's own heart, knew what it was to bear the burden of sin and the resulting guilt in his own strength. So he wrote a psalm, Psalm 38, and he said in singable verse, as lamentations to the Almighty, his Creator. He said, there is no soundness in my flesh, because of your indignation. There is no health in my bones because of my sin, for my iniquities have gone over my head like a heavy burden. They're too heavy for me. I'm thankful that God blessed me with some time to converse with Diane about such things. And I'm always blessed with anyone who ever wishes to share those burdens and receive some pastoral care and the proclamation of the gospel. So what can I say to all of us? Even myself, I have to speak to myself as we bear these burdens. And what was my message to Diane? My message was, there is hope. Absolute hope. For Jesus came calling the afflicted, and he came calling those who were not healthy. Jesus came calling those with burdens, and this is what he said. Jesus said, come unto me, all of you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take your yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle, I am lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We might ask, how does the Savior make burdens light? He carries our burdens is the answer. He takes our place. He endures the burdens in our place. So the prophet Isaiah, some call him, really, he writes the fifth gospel, because so accurately does he portray the ministry of the Redeemer, of our Lord Jesus. He says, Surely he has borne our griefs, he has carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. That's why I read such a long reading from Mark 15, the death of Jesus. Because in all of that, he's wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we were healed. What a burden it was indeed. You know, early on in my preaching career, I would love to talk about the weight of the cross of Jesus. And we have a cross there. It's got a vertical piece and a horizontal piece. And as Jesus was making his way up to Golgotha, he would be carrying that horizontal piece on his shoulders. And because the centerpiece would already be in the mount, standing upright. But nevertheless, that piece, that horizontal piece, was heavy. It was about 75 pounds. And he bore it, and he bore it for us. So no wonder he needed Simon of Cyrene to bear that part for him in the latter part of his journey to Golgotha. And I love to talk about that, but in more recent times, I like to emphasize the other burden that Jesus was carrying, which Simon could not even begin to carry. No human being could begin to carry the emotional burden that Jesus carried, the burden of sin that he carried, his love for you and I that he carried. It was the sin of the whole world. It was the oppressive and the most deepest darkness that he carried. It is Jesus crying out the great cry of dereliction. He says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because indeed, God the Father, the Holy One, had to look away for a moment in time because Jesus had to bear our sin and the deepest darkness. And you know what he did then? Jesus was on the cross in that darkness. He endured the eternity of hell that each and every one of us would have had to have endured in a moment in time. But he did it for you, for me, and for Diane. I explained that to her, the meaning of the cross, the mystery of the cross. I'm so glad that this funeral home put up the cross, because some places they don't do it automatically, and I didn't say anything, but I'm sure glad that they did. Because Jesus bore our burdens on the cross extended. It is by means of this kind of cross-bearing that our burdens are lightened. Our sins are forgiven, our guilt is taken away. Our pilgrimage through this barren land, as Isaac saying, it becomes bearable. But there is more. God's people have always been fed so that they might be strengthened for their journey to the promised land. The children of Israel were provided with manna, which the book of Psalms describes as the very bread of angels. The children of the new Israel, his holy church, are given Jesus himself, because Jesus says, "Behold, I am the bread of life." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and never die." Jesus says, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I give for the life of the world is my flesh." It's a great mystery for us human beings to understand how that could ever be. But we Christian pilgrims, we believe this by faith, rooted in the crucified and risen Savior Jesus Christ. So many things in Scripture, so hard to believe. But then I look at the cross and I contemplate the fact that Jesus Christ, He died, He suffered, He died, He was placed in the tomb, and He rose again from the dead, and no one could ever produce the body. And so I say, on that basis, the empty tomb, I believe everything that comes out of the mouth of our Lord Jesus Christ, including the fact of His promise that He shall feed us, that He shall guide us, that He'll lead us as He led Israel through the wilderness to the promised land, and He'll lead us to our promised land, which is heaven, and He will feed us what we need along the way, especially His body and blood, the Eucharist. I was pleased to catechize Diane. I don't think she had a lot of Christian instruction as a young person, although, because, you know, we forget these things anyways, even if we have them. And so I was pleased to be able to talk to her about the mystery that is the Eucharist, that's celebrated by the whole people of God, His bride, the church, the angels and archangels, and the whole company of heaven. I say that every Sunday when I celebrate the sacrament. And I would visit her apartment to teach her of this, and I would share the Lord's body and blood if she was unable to receive it in our community. It is a mystery. We also celebrated together while she was at Grace Hospital in her last days. I had visited Diane on the Wednesday before she had died. She was too weak to receive the Lord's Supper at that time, but we took comfort in the fact that she had received it before, even when she was at Grace Hospital the week before. She received our Lord's life-giving body and blood. I gave her a blessing of the Word, which is also the bread of life, and I said a prayer. And Diane's roommate, Hazel, who was also dying, sang with her daughter an impromptu song. And I wonder, you know, if that song is in a hymnal somewhere or if she just made it up out of her heart. But she said, "I'm ready to go home." I wish I had it recorded, but it was beautiful. It was like a real spiritual song. I'm ready to go home. There ain't nothing left to keep me here, she sang, and her daughter. So Diane, the pilgrim, was making her journey home, strengthened for the journey by the very body of Christ, crucified for her and for all of us poor sinners. Where would home be? Isaac sang of how, approaching death, we join God's people treading on the verge of Jordan, looking to Cana, the promised land. He's saying, when I tread the verge of Jordan, bid my anxious fears subside, death of death and hell's destruction, land me safe on Cana's side. Song of praises, I will ever give to thee. God's people Israel sought the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey. But you know, we're part of the new Israel. We seek and find the eternal promised land where Jesus remains at the center. And He calls us on the last day, the day of resurrection. You know, on the day of resurrection, we're placed in a tomb, or we're cremated, or ashes are interred, or whatever way we are interred, God calls, we go to heaven immediately to be with the Lord. And on the day of resurrection, God takes all of this flesh that is fallen apart, and He lovingly puts it back together, more beautiful than we could ever imagine. Diane would always say, I look like Marilyn Monroe. Well, I'm not sure how, if Marilyn Monroe would have lived to be 90, how well she would look, but I can assure you that Diane is going to look in perfection as God intended her to look, and God is going to heal her mind so that it thinks as God intended it to think. And whatever other problems she may have had, he's going to correct that. He's going to go reach in there. He's a master, right? DNA that might be kind of messed up a little bit. My DNA, I can't see hardly probably. But he's going to fix it. And on the day of resurrection, when the archangel blows the trumpet, we're going to be called to meet the Lord, and our bodies and souls will be reunited, and we'll reign with Jesus forever and ever. Indeed, what a comfort, what a blessing. For by the cross of Jesus, bearing our burdens of sin and guilt, we have the assurance of hell's destruction, that indeed we're going to be finding ourselves safe on Canaan's side. Faith comes through the preaching of this word. The Holy Spirit's active this evening, and I pray that you receive him and don't resist him. And I pray also that you may find yourself connected with a Christian community, that you may receive the Lord's body and blood for the forgiveness of your sins and for the strengthening on the journey to the promised land. May this indeed provide comfort unto us all. Amen.